Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your Bible. We want to pour ourselves into your word as you pour your word into us. We want to be convinced and convicted. We want to be led to the truth. We want to be comforted and yet encouraged. Stir our hearts to wisdom and knowledge to know exactly what your plan is for us. In Christ's name, amen. I want to introduce you to somebody. His name is Asaph. He wrote, he's been credited for about a dozen of the Psalms. The sons of Asaph also have been credited with a lot more of that, and they go down in history as some of the greatest musicians of all time, I mean, quite frankly, according to Scripture. Asaph was, if it's the same Asaph, I mean, I can't say it with absolute certainty, but absolute biblical authority, I can't say if it's the same Asaph, which I believe it is, was appointed by David. He was around about 520, 530 years before the birth of Christ. That also happens to coincide with the destruction of the temple and the sacking of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. What does that mean? There was a man named J.R.R. Tolkien. He wrote, he was a contemporary with, he used to go to the pub with, what's their names again? C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis and another writer. Two Christian writers. He happened to also, all these three men were born again. Now there is a movie out called Tolkien, it does not talk about his faith. It's a worldly movie. Although it is based on his life and it's supposedly a true story, you get the idea of what this guy Tolkien was about. Extremely interesting. You remember watching that movie, babe? I didn't know a lot about this. The guy was in World War II. He saw hard action in World War II. As a matter of fact, he got the plague when he was in World War II, and he was left to die like so many of the men were, who was so far off, but he refused to die. And he was literally pulled from a mountain of dead men alive and went through the hospital. The guy was a very amazing writer. He would actually develop languages. And he came from a very modest, actually a poorer family, but yet because of his skills in writing, he wound up going to school with some very rich people, some of his friends, which were very wealthy, and that's kind of how he got into these very good colleges. I don't remember the college, maybe Oxford or something like that. Was it Oxford? He wrote this amazing series of books. The most body of his work was called The Silmarillion, and then he wrote three books called The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship, Two Towers, and Return of the King. In Return of the King, he has a line. I've used it at almost every funeral that I've ever done. Frodo looks at Gandalf and says, I wish the ring would never come to me. I wish none of this would ever have happened. And Gandalf says to him, so do all who live to see such times. He said, I wish none of this would ever have happened. I want to let you know something. That what happened in Frodo's life in Lord of the Rings, what's happened in Asaph's life, and what's happened in your life is very similar. You're in the midst of something that hasn't happened in all humanity. This ain't no joke, what's going on here. This ain't no propaganda machine, although they are using it as such. Make no mistake about it, by the time coronavirus, if they ever find a cure, it will have killed millions of people. Probably millions more that you won't know. This might turn out to be the worst epidemic, pandemic, whatever name they want to put on it, ever to occur, because according to recent reports, this is man-made. Plandemic, good point. Everybody knew somebody who had it. And then as time went by, everybody knew somebody who knew somebody who died. And then as more time goes by, everybody knew somebody who died. I've noticed it's getting closer. It's getting closer. I wish none of this would never happen. Things were going so good. So do all who live to see such times. And then Gandalf says something that is as profound as anything you'll read anywhere. But that's not for you to decide. All you have to decide is what you're going to do with the time that's given to you. It's so poetic, it's so beautiful, it's so moving. It's so where we're at. What are you going to do at this time? You're going to wait until things go back to normal and then be like one of those other Christians who says, man, if I was born in the day of Christ, if I had that opportunity, an opportunity is now, and it's hard. People are mad. And you can't touch them. It's like I like to tell you guys, hey, listen, this week I want you to go out and pray for three people. You're at Publix, I want you to reach out. You can't. I know this lady at Publix. I've known this woman probably 20 years. She's been working. She used to come into the store, and every year, she wants to see the skunks. Her name's Kathy. Right? Isn't that her name, Austin? Kathy? Austin doesn't know. Honey, isn't it? You know, isn't that Kathy? Cat, honey? Kathy? Sandy. Always, every time I say, hi, how are the animals? How are they? Good, Sandy. How are you? How's your cat? You know Sandy? The cat lady. I know this woman 20 years. Right. Right. Sandy, about 2 weeks ago, I went into Publix. Hi, Sandy, how are you? Good. And she looked up at me and she went, you need a mask, sir. I'm like, Sandy, I'm 5 feet away from you. There's a glass here. It's okay. You need to have a mask on, sir. I'm not going to ring him up. I'm sorry, Sandy. I'm sorry. I wish none of this would ever happen. I wish I wasn't born in this time. I liked things the way they were. No pandemic. Not that I was any more bold about my faith, mind you. But if things go back to the way they were, I will be, I promise. Right. If you're not bold now, you're not going to be bold later. If you're not bold now, you wouldn't have been bold before. If only I would have had another opportunity. Why do I use this as an example? Psalm 79, I'm not just trying to talk current events. I'm not just trying to bring up one of my favorite books and movies. Psalm 79 is right. It's just, it's that sentiment. It's that heaviness. It's that, how did this happen? Has anything happened to you crazy since the pandemic? I've lost a lot of friends, and I'm not talking about from the pandemic. I've had friends that I've had for 15 plus 20 years since I first started going to the gym. And some of them, they won't talk to me anymore. Oh, no. And I'm, some of it confuses me, but some of it I totally understand. This is America. The governor, the mayor of any state, of any municipality, does not have the right to dictate whether you cover your face or not, how you dress, when you leave. But Ryan, there's a pandemic. You just said millions of people died. Yes. And it's the right of every American to die of a disease if they want to. Yes, but that's not fair because if you endanger the public, yeah, it's dicey. But the line has been crossed so far. Yesterday's news, Wisconsin. Activists surround the guy's house, shouting and yelling, calling him a racist and calling him names. The same group of people that surrounded this guy's house burnt down a house 2 days earlier. Burnt it down. He pulls out a shotgun, shows them, you want to come in this house, this is what waits for you. They call the police. The police come and arrest this man out of his house. Mob rules. It's easier to arrest the guy with the gun than the mob. And if it doesn't just, what? Are you kidding me? I wish none of this would ever have happened. So do all who live to see such times. But that's not for you to decide. All you have to decide is what you're going to do with the time that's been given to you. And then I repeat the words of our Savior. So it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be at the end of the age. They will marry and give in marriage. They will drink and eat and party until the door of the boat is closed. Now, I ain't saying that's us, but be careful, for you don't want that day to come like a thief in the night. It's all going down exactly as he predicted, every bit of it. Now is not the time to burn bridges. Now's the time to fill in gaps. Listen to this. A dirge and a prayer for Israel, comma, destroyed by enemies. Now, please, before I even read the psalm, do you understand what Israel was? I want to remind you. Israel, this tiny little speck, started with 12 men. Jacob's sons. And their son Joseph, their brother Joseph, Jacob's son Joseph, was, if you don't know the story, thrown into a ditch to die, taken out, was a slave, then rose to prominence to be the second in command in the greatest nation that the earth had ever seen up to that time, Egypt. Egypt, guys, who built the Sphinx, who built the pyramids. They still don't know how they're built. Oh, the theories abound. How the heck did they do that? Oh, I know how they did it. That's easy. They had flying saucers, and they took the stone cap, and it flew over, and that's how they did it. They don't know. And then God, which they still talk about from thousands of years ago, delivered these people out from slavery and bondage under Egyptian law. delivered them and made them a nation. They had the land of Canaan. And boy, did they conquer nation upon nation upon nation. They built themselves to be the greatest nation on the planet. None can compare to the power of Israel. Don't go against the God of Israel. That's a gigantic mistake. Does that sound familiar? That's our story, guys. America. America. The greatest world power the earth has ever known. Land of the free, home of the brave. Come. Huh? Mayflower, the Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria. They came here to start a new world, a place to worship God. They called themselves pilgrims. And God honored their desire. And what's happening? We're dying from the inside. I love it. These politicians, one in particular, I'm not going to mention his name because I just don't want to. He's now saying how if Donald Trump is elected, the world will burn because of climate change being real. The guy just bought a house on the East Coast, though, right on the water. He so believes that the waters are rising that he bought a house on the water. And then there's Obama's at Martha's Vineyard. As the multi-millionaire woman says how oppressed she is as she lives in a $12 million mansion in Martha's Vineyard. If this country is so racist, so horrible, why do they want all these people to come from other countries to live here? I don't get it. I'm confused. Anyway, O God, the nations have come into your inheritance. You guys hear that line, that first line? The nations that do not know you have come into your inheritance. Israel was called the inheritance of God. They were to be given all of the blessings of God. And here Asaph looks around at his country and goes, we've been invaded. All these nations are taking what you ordained for us. They're literally stealing your blessing for us. How could you let that happen? There's this non-wistful, but a very deliberate shock. You can't steal from God. What God gives man, you can't take from him. Unless God lets you. And that's the that's the holy cow moment. Your holy temple, they have defiled. They have laid Jerusalem in heaps. Now, just for information's sake, some say this might either be the first destruction of Jerusalem and the temple or the second. If it's the second, and it's the Babylonians, and they laid it to waste. Solomon's temple was gone. They don't really know which one it was. Because it was Asaph, they're really not sure because he was around for both of them. But he sat there. Could you imagine? I grew up in New York City. And as a kid living in the boroughs, you'd go, you and your friends would always go jump on the A train and you'd wind up in the city. And you'd walk around the city and you'd go like this. Wow. Wait, look. Put your back against it. You could see it swaying in the wind. The towers would go. Like, man, I could see it. You could see the towers sway in the wind. And then after 9/11, I was here already, but it was just the other day, 19 years ago, I get a call at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'll never forget because I had just a year earlier started this devotional thing of getting up early in the morning and praying. And I'd been into it about a year, and every morning I'd get up before my family and I'd lay and put my hands on the couch, and all of a sudden, the phone rang. And it's Joy's mom, Faye. I'm like, why are you calling me? I'm praying. What do you want? Someone just flew into one of the Twin Towers with a plane. What are you talking about? All right, sweetie, I'll talk to you later. I'll have Joy call you when she wakes up. You with me? So then all of a sudden I get on a text and I send Tom Pascuzzo, you know, guys know Tom who plays drums sometimes. I sent a text and said, Faye just told me somebody flew a plane into one of the Twin Towers. And all he wrote was, turn on the television. I turned on the television and I watched for about 10 minutes and I'm like, this is insane. And while we're watching, this other plane comes, wham! And it hits the other tower. And smoke is flying out of the thing. And I'm like, this is insane. Did I wake you up? I don't know. No way. And then, while I'm watching, one of them falls to the ground. And all I could remember is just looking up at it, standing outside. Take the elevator up. Whoom! Fastest elevator you've ever seen. And then the other one falls. And then the stories start coming out. And then I get a call from my aunt. My aunt lived across the street. She is freaking her crap. People are jumping out of windows. The fire is in one place, the windows in the other. She's watching people fly out of the windows to their death in front of her. My family's calling me up. My friends are calling me up. It's never going to be the same. This is where we're at. Jerusalem has been sacked. The incredible temple that Solomon built, or he was building, who knows? Like I said, it's got to be one or the other. Because this guy was born in the time of David, and he was a little younger, he was appointed, so blown away. I wish none of this would have ever happened. I wish the ring would have never come to me. So do all who live to see such times. But that's not for you to decide. What you have to decide is what you're going to do with the time that's been given to you. Dead bodies of your servants they have given as food for the birds of the heavens, the flesh of your saints to the beasts of the earth. Their blood they have shed like water all around Jerusalem, and there's no one to bury them. Please give me your attention. I had a cousin whose name was Michael. He went down. They were paying people to go down and, as cleanup crew to clean up the mess. Problem was, the building was built when they didn't have a regulations against certain chemicals and stuff like that. A lot of the people that helped with the cleanup crew developed cancers and all different kinds of things. My cousin died a few years ago, and his personal opinion was that he had gotten it from the cleanup. Aside from the terrible nightmares and haunting dreams that he had, because as they were cleaning it up, the badly decomposed body parts that were underneath that building were just... Said the smell was unforgettable, the vision of people just cremified. This. We have become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to those who are around us. And then the pity. How long, Lord? Will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you, and on the kingdoms that do not call on your name, for they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. If you were here last week, we talked about how Jacob and Israel were not only the names of people, but they were also the names of the city, the nation of Jacob, the city of Jacob. Later, they called the same city David, the city of David. Oh, do not remember former iniquities against us. Let your tender mercies come speedily to meet us, for we have been brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name, and deliver us, and provide atonement for our sins, for your name's sake. Here's a crazy thing. Right now, New York is going through a really atrocious time. There's a mayor named Bill de Blasio. He's as far left-wing, liberal, lunatic, socialist, crazy person as you can get. And he's literally allowing the city to become a... I grew up in the 70s. And in the late 70s, at 12, 13, 14 years old, we'd go to Manhattan. We'd go to look at the Twin Tower. We'd go to look at the Empire State Building. We'd party on the streets. But you always knew when you were on 7th and 8th Avenue, stay away from 47th and 48th Street. Because you don't come back. It was a cesspool of drugs and sex houses and peep shows. And 7th and 8th Avenue was the absolute butthole of the world. Sorry to put it that way, but anybody ever know what I'm talking about? Anybody in Manhattan, you know what I'm talking about. There's nothing that could compare to the atrocities that went on there. The murder rate was the highest in the people. There was more people dying in New York City than in Vietnam. I mean, that bad. And then they elected this guy, Rudolph Giuliani. And he gave the police power. Oh, man. He was what they called the mob buster. He took the mob out. He took you. What this guy did is clean up New York so it became the largest big city, I'm sorry, the safest large city on the planet. Downside, he basically sold off Times Square, which is what they call 7th and 8th and 47th, 48th. To the Chinese and to Disney, thank you. But you go to 7th and 8th now? Well, not now, but a couple of years ago. It's beautiful. I mean, from somebody that... Listen, before I moved to Florida, I lived in West 12th and 52nd. You know what they call that? Hell's Kitchen. You know what it is now? It's the Upper West Side. Brownstones and houses and fancy restaurants. But in the last 5 or 6 years, this de Blasio, he's not prosecuting certain crimes he refuses to prosecute. Homeless run amok. There's needles. And I don't even want to explain to you the whole thing because I don't want to go much longer than I intended already just in this first psalm that I'm reading. But you think about it. All these people, it's a cover of every newspaper. De Blasio, worst mayor of all time. Like, what are you talking about? You just reelected him last year. You bought and paid for what you got, which in the end is what you deserve. Do you know how many people have left New York in the last 3 months? 1 million. Why do you think the housing market here is so crazy? Why do you think you can't buy a house right now? You want to know what's even worse than this? Try to buy something in Georgia, North, or South Carolina. People are leaving the big cities and going to the country by the millions. The rents, the rent-controlled districts in Manhattan are empty. You can go buy property there now and get it for half of what it was 6 months ago. Why did I bring that up? If you read the book of Judges, the Israelites did the same thing. They rejected good kings and embraced bad kings. They worshiped Ashtaroth poles, which are just sexual desire, or whatever it is. There is no holiness. Like, Asaph, I'm sorry to tell you this, but the people got what they asked for. That we want a king. We want a king. You don't need a king. You got me. We want a king like the other nations. Okay, here. You could have Saul. Continuing. Why should the nation say, verse 10, where is their God? Let there be known among the nations in our sight the avenging of the blood of your servants, which has been shed. Let the groaning of the prisoner come before you, according to the greatness of your power. Preserve those who are appointed to die, and return to our neighbors sevenfold in their bosom their reproach, which they have reproached you, O Lord. So we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. Well, he goes from the prayer of dirge to like making a deal with God. I tell you what, let's make a deal. If you smash our enemies for us, I promise we'll tell everybody how great you are. Now, I find it interesting that Psalm 80 is almost like a follow-up. I don't know if he wrote them at the same time, but his attitude changes just a little bit. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Those are the names of cities as well as people, sons of Jacob. Stir up your strength and come and save us. Restore us, O God, and cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Now he goes from the dirge of self-pity and watching the destruction to now like, you know what? And this has got to happen to all of us, guys. It's got to happen. We've got to stop holding on to our life. A few weeks ago when I was first coming out of this COVID thing, I said, guys, you have to learn to love life. Now I'm saying don't hold on to it so tight. Well, am I contradicting myself? No. I want to be alive. I want to live. I'm going to live. I'm not going to die. But while I live, I'm going to make something more valuable of my life because I have a choice to make. You know what it is? What am I going to do with the time God's given me? I'm being caught up again. I'm going to build new barns and put more stuff in them, and I don't want to hear, you fool. You fool. Tonight your life is required of you. Then what's going to happen to those things you've acquired? Well, I know exactly what's going to happen with them. Kids are going to get some of it, some charity, some's going to be. I know exactly. You sure you're ready? No, but I'm going to get ready, God. All right. Don't love your life to death. Don't do anything it takes to be successful here. Don't do anything it takes to stay here. Don't love your life to death. I love what Asaph does here. What a change of attitude. Yeah, the initial shock is there. But I love when George Bush, and boy, whatever happened to that dude? We thought he was our savior, right? Donald Trump? I have to figure that one out. How did Donald Trump turn out to be a better president than George Bush? I don't know. But he stands in the middle of Manhattan, and he's got a firefighter in one arm. I remember watching it live 19 years ago. And he's got a blowhorn in his mouth. And he says, we will get through this. We will rebuild. And make no mistake about it, those who did this will be visited by us soon. Oh, man, it gave me chills. Yes! That's right! Righteous vengeance. Boy, for a while we were united. I remember being in my store, and for like a month or so, maybe more than that after it, people weren't going outside. Fear gripped the nation. They were afraid where it was going to hit next. Oh, man. Does anybody remember the month, the 6 to 8, 10 weeks after? People were afraid, man. People were like nice to each other. People were saying, God bless you. God bless America. We love Floridians. Floridians was saying we love New York. It's a totally funny thing, but I remember moving down here and going into an insurance place looking for insurance for my car, and there was a sign on the wall that said, "We don't care how you do it up north." Because people were going to all the business, that's not how we do it up north. And so they'd have these signs that we don't care how you do up north. Anyway, in the book of Numbers, there was a priestly blessing where he said, "And may God make his face to shine upon you. May God make his face to shine upon you." And it's kind of a funny thing because in a couple of the Psalms that David writes, he says the same blessing. And it's kind of an interesting thing because I'm always trying to find out when it doesn't have an author of the psalm. Like this one says it's a psalm of Asaph. Some of them say sons of Korah. Some of them say psalm of David, a song of David, whatever. The ones that don't have any names, I try to look at the writing and see if I could see some similarities. Anyway, I know I'm going a long time, guys. I'm going to be done soon. Verse 4, O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? You have fed them with bread of tears and given them tears to drink in great measure. You have made us a strife to our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. You have brought out vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it. You prepared room for it and caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with its shadow and the mighty cedars with its boughs. She sent out her boughs to the sea and her branches to the river. Why have you broken down her hedges so that all who pass by the way pluck her fruit? The boar out of the woods uproots it, and the wild beast of the field devours it. Return, we beseech you, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see and visit this vine and the vineyard which your right hand has planted. And the branch that you made strong for yourself, it is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of your countenance. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the son of man whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will not turn back from you. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. And cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. And something crazy happens now. Guys, listen to this. And I don't know if it's planned or not. I certainly didn't plan it, only when I was studying for these three Psalms this week. First, he goes from visualizing this incredible destruction and this morbid darkness of dead bodies and blood in the streets and blah, blah, blah. 9/11 visual. Then he goes from this petition, this almost uplifting, cause your face to shine upon us. And then Asaph does something that, man, you better be sure it's God if you do this. He speaks as if God himself has took over his mouth and his pen. Remember that psalm? My hand is the pen of a ready writer. Listen to this. To the chief musician, on an instrument of Gath, a psalm of Asaph. Psalm 81, an appeal for Israel's repentance. Sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Raise a song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the lute. Blow the trumpet at the time of the noonday, at the full moon, on our solemn feast day. For this is a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob. This he established in Joseph as a testimony when he went throughout the land of Egypt, where I heard a language I did not understand. Stop right there. Something happens in 6. And I want you to apply this to yourself. Things go crappy in your life. You see destruction. You make a deal with God and you call upon his name, and then you get to worshiping. You get to worshiping. You get immediately to worshiping. Give to God the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. The sacrifice meaning you don't wanna. He might not even deserve it in your eyes, but it's a sacrifice. And watch what happens now in verse 6. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the baskets. You called in trouble, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. What a crazy verse. The secret place of thunder. What an articulate, poetic thing to say. I answered you. You know when I answered you? In the secret place of thunder. Like, secret place kind of gives you this hush, hush. Thunder is like, ah. But to God, it's the secret place of thunder. That's how I answer. I answer you, and it seems quiet, but oh man, it ripples. It makes loud noises. He says, I tested you by the waters of Meribah. Does anybody not know what Meribah is? It's the waters. It's the spring. It's a psalm that was written. He tested them where the water was bitter, and then it was made pure. The secret place of thunder, I tested you by the waters of Meribah. I wanted to see what was in you. I tested you. When I pass through the valley of Baca, I make it a spring. That's what the psalm writer David wrote. Though I go through the water, the valley of Baca, the testing, I will make it a spring. I'm going to jump in that water. I don't care what you throw at me. Listen, this is God doing the speaking. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me, there will be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. You hear that? You're living in meekness. You're living with half, maybe less, of what God has for you. And because you refuse, because you sell yourself short, God says, I have blessings for you. Handfuls, armloads. Who wants them? I'll take some blessings. Okay. Ready for this, guys? Show me your holiness. Well, what do you mean? Well, I can't bless you if you're not being holy. I'm giving you money. Are you not tithing on it? I gave you a mate. Are you having sex with her? You want me to bless it? I'm holding on to it, man. I'm looking for it. You see, my eyes go to and fro across the whole earth. I'm just trying to find a heart who's loyal. That person, I'm going to show myself strong on behalf of. I mean, could I get a little more serious? God says he wants to bless you with a good long life.
I don't know why, I just can't stay healthy.
I'm looking for somebody to bless, but I need a holy vessel. Now, that's not to say that you're not going to fall into trials, because we just learned last Sunday. For this reason, we were appointed. But some of us, God himself just spoke through Asaph and said, if my people would only open their mouths wide. How many people living so meagerly when all they got to do is pull up the, can I get a little holiness, he says. Oh, this is so amazing. I love these verses. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of it. You know what I did? I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their counsels. Yeah, listen, you might have a lot of sex, but there's a whole lot more to marriage than that. And long after the sex of your relationship has grown cold or old or boring, you can have more than that. You can have life that never ends. Papa and Faye have been together for over 50 years, and they still make me sick. Kissing on each other, and I love you, honey. And she still makes remarks that kind of make you uncomfortable, the kind of remarks that a parent shouldn't say in front, you know, like, the kind of remarks I make in front of my kids. And the kind of remarks Austin starts making in front of me now.
Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. He goes back to being Asaph now for the last verse, and it's so weird. I don't know how and why. He says, he would have fed them also with the finest of wheat, and with honey from the rock I would have satisfied you.
He goes back and forth. It's just weird. It's just a little weird, that's all. I'm telling you, I cannot tell you how sad it makes the heart of a pastor, the heart of God himself, when people who, like, we know people. In ministry, you see, and you're so close, man. You're so close, dude. You're so close, man. Oh, you're missing this much, man. And then you know what happened? God says, open your mouth wide. I'll fill you full of good stuff, man. You know what I'm going to feed you with? The finest wheat and sweet honey from the rock. Sweet honey from the rock. And you think about how these first three psalms started and where they finish. And it's cohesive, man. It's integrated. It is a unit. It is perfect. The application for America, it's there. The application for Israel, it's there. The application for us, it's there. You're going through a horrible time. Has God done something crazy, man? Petition the Lord. Petition him. Remind yourself of the promises of God. Remind yourself of the promises of God. And then worship and watch God show up in your life. Amen? I'm done. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word, this amazing, amazing word, God, and we thank you so much for this country. We thank you so much for this land is your land. It is, God. And we who are your people, we humble ourselves and we pray. We turn from our wicked ways and we ask you to hear from heaven and heal our land. We want to bargain with you as Abraham bargained with you, God. There's still righteous people left in here. There's still plenty of righteous people. Do not rain brimstone and fire on this nation yet, God. Give us the opportunity and the boldness to bring more people who are in the fires of hell into the light of heaven. We want to do the work of an evangelist. But we need you, God. Let your spirit fall upon us to do this. This we ask in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.